listening to Frank Skinner's podcast from Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Alan Cochrane. You can text the show on 8 12 15, follow the show on Twitter at Frank on the Radio, or email the show via the Absolute Radio website. Them's your options.
Morning, boys.
Morning.
Hey.
We've already had some outside world. I'd quite like to kick off.
Can I just say, we haven't done jingles? Yeah, we used to do our own individual jingles.
Oh, come on then.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if I can... I can't actually see Alan's. Maybe it's been edited.
It might have.
Oh, well, let's abandon that. I've got a new one for you. So I'm with Emily Dean.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner.
I'm with Alan Cochrane. And I'm Frank Skinner. Oh, he's the loneliest man in the world. Oh, jingle heavy.
I love that. So, we've got... I might start with a whatever happened to, if you're okay with that. Morning, Frank and the gang. This is from 848. Whatever happened to whispering commentators? Nowadays, even in the more tranquil sports, most commentators holler as loud as they can. That is from one of our regulars and my faves, Henners from Gravesend.
I think what happened was partly microphone development in the sort of lit mic. And also... putting them in sealed boxes, whereas whispering Ted Lowe, the famous, obviously, because of his nickname, you might guess he did a bit of whispering.
Yeah.
He was literally sitting on a table next to the snooker players holding a normal microphone, so he really had to whisper.
Mm.
His answer phone message, I remember, was, "Hello, I'm not here, so I'm afraid you're snookered." Yes, but so that's what happened. I've answered it in a factual way instead of a lovely, whimsical, nostalgic way.
No, I liked it. You answered it in a sort of Norris McWhirter way.
Whatever happened to people saying, and here's a clip, you won't believe this, honestly, it's the funniest thing ever. And it was always a clip from like Brazilian television, the bloke going, "Go!" They used to play it once a fortnight, one of those. Oh. Think, yeah, I've got it. I've got it. That's what they do.
Slim pickings then for the virals. We only had about three virals, and Dennis Norden had access to those exclusively.
That's true, yeah.
I don't think Slim Pickens had any. Slim Pickens was the guy I'm trying to think of a quote of his from Blazing Saddles that isn't politically incorrect.
I can't think of it.
I check that one first.
Yeah. Not easy to quote.
But he spoke like that. He had a very, really good voice. But yes.
Although I quote Blazing Saddles often off air, but not during the show.
Oh, he's so alt-right.
Yeah.
I know.
Anyway.
We've also had an email entitled Zoella Giftset. I think she's becoming a friend of the show.
Yeah. Who's Zoella Giftset? That's what she should be called. Change the name by deed poll.
Oh, that would be very good. The email goes, as part of your ongoing documentation of Zoella merchandise, which I like, I feel it is only right to share with you the sad tale of a Zoella gift set I saw on Facebook Marketplace at £3, unwanted, unopened and abandoned. I can only imagine the markdown on that. Picture is on Twitter I can't attach. I don't think we'll
unwanted,
follow that.
Unwanted, unopened and abandoned. There's a great autobiography.
I want to know what's in it.
£3. What is it from? Facebook? What?
There's a leaf.
Marketplace.
What's
apparently
that?
There's a place where people buy things on Facebook.
Weirdos.
Facebook Marketplace.
Well, you go to the shop like the rest of us.
I think this is a thing. Oh. I think the rest of us don't go to a shop, they go online, don't they?
Well, that is a shop.
Oh, obviously.
Didn't Susie and the Banshees have that song, Facebook Marketplace? Someone will be singing that somewhere. Isn't Facebook in the news for doing terrible things about their rivals?
While also stealing all our information.
Data.
Yeah.
I know, I'm all for that.
Oh, okay.
Are you?
Oh, the stealing of... I find that so convenient, the stealing of my data.
Yeah.
You know, I put on... I look at the West Bromwich Albion News Now website for my latest things as an advert for the new Doctor Who box set. I mean, they're saving me.
Isn't it?
Have my information if it's going to be that convenient.
Yeah.
Well,
brilliant.
Things have changed now. I'm just saying. Well, you don't have to clear your history quite so often, okay?
I don't know.
Yeah, but in those days. He's the loneliest man in the
world. Frank. Frank Skinner. On Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
There's a song that goes. Na 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 na. Do you not know what I mean? Then you are imbecile. Somewhere else. Let's move on. You know that song. Come on.
I thought I knew a bit of it. Can you do it all again?
Oh, I'm not doing it again.
No, because guess what? I don't want to be that woman on Nevermind the Buzzcocks. And that's what I feel like.
Every listener is saying, how can they not get that?
Well, text in on 81215
if you are. There was a bit in the middle where it sounded like the Muppets.
Is it a modern song?
It's time to play the music.
I think it might be 80s. Anyway, forget it. Next.
Is it a Muppets remix?
Next.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what's next. We've had a lovely message from Katie saying, morning, Frank, what did you think of Ed Sheeran's, or I should say Ed Sheeran, as Elton John referred to him?
Oh, is that right?
Yes. What did you think of Ed Sheeran's performance last night? Brilliant, yes. I thought.
We had a works outing to Ed Sheeran last night. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make absolutely sure. And, I thought he did really... He's a very talented young man.
He is.
Well, we had a disaster.
I sound like Brian Clough.
Yeah.
We had a disaster before we even started.
Did we?
Well, yes. You missed out on this admin, perhaps, this admin-based nightmare. We got knocked back, didn't we, Frank?
Oh, yeah, we were given access all area stickers.
Except we weren't.
And then the lady giving them out went,
the red puffer.
She actually peeled...
The red puffer.
She said, the bloke said, can you put those on, please, like when she gave them out.
It was so embarrassing.
So I put the sticker on
Good impression of the bloke, though.
Yeah. It will be lost on some of you, to be fair, just for us.
Well, I think everyone has been to a gig as a bloke,
that
so
bloke.
Similar like that. So I put it on my jumper, and then she came over and peeled it off.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. Well, Daisy, the producer, had gone striding ahead in hers with a sense of entitlement.
I think she knew we shouldn't have had that.
And the woman in the red puffer, who we've been told to look out for, like some sort of bizarre spy movie, she said, no, can you get her, please? We need to retrieve that ticket.
I know, it was very awkward. I wouldn't mind, but she didn't put them back on the thing to give them to someone else. She screwed them up and threw them on the...
Yeah.
Put them in a pocket, I think. So she would rather nobody went backstage than we went backstage. I didn't want to go back. What am I going to say to Ed Sheeran? He might have seen that time on Room 101 when I did an Ed Sheeran lookalike, which was one of those sushis when it's white rice with a big prawn on top. I mean, never know how that's going to go.
You know what I was pleased for you last night, Frank? You had a lot of compliments on your jacket.
That was true.
You kept going up to the Absolute Radio bosses saying, do you know, that's the only time anyone's ever... And you said it quite pointedly in front of me.
Every time I put that jacket... And it's a talking piece, the jacket.
Should we say what the jacket is?
It's not a jacket you wouldn't notice.
It's a tan leather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got very big lapels.
Mm. Yeah.
Just plenty of room for an access all area sticker. But, as it turns out, inappropriate.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what there was as well. Every time I put that jacket on, because it's a bit distinctive, I think, I wonder if this time...
More than any other time.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe this time there'll be compliments.
I like that I went for the football song and you went for the Broadway musical.
I went
musical.
For Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, Frank, you kept saying, you said, well, really, you just complimented me. It's the only time, and it happened twice. And then I felt bad, and I said, look, I've just known the jacket a long time.
Well, it's one that
it's
I get out. And yeah. then, because it doesn't get compliments, I put it away again.
Put it away again, yeah.
Because I lose faith in it.
Yeah, it's easily done, isn't it?
Someone says, please tell us a song. I'm singing it in the car. Can't name it. Thank you, Rosie.
Oh, well, but one of our readers will know it.
Well, morning all. Frank, give a little respect.
Oh, now that explains it.
Is that it? I think it's by Erasure.
Yes, give of course.
Am I allowed to sing it? No.
I said it was 80s, didn't I?
You did.
I'll tell you why I asked about it.
Oh, I know it now.
The reason I asked is I found myself singing it around the house of late, but at the end, I don't know any of the words, so I go, and then I go, gotta know respect. And I thought, no, that's from Joe Dolce's Shut Up Your Face.
You're doing a mashup with Dolce.
And I thought, why? Well, it's not. And that might be my confusion. The only lyric I know to it is from the wrong song. But
that's
it's respect.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Who was that from?
Well, there've been so many.
Rosie.
That specific one. Well, that wasn't Rosie. That was actually, I'm just going to call them
Rachel.
709.
Well, thank you so much, because that has put me out of my miserable. So that's brilliant. Oh, so I was close with Gotta Know Respect, but...
Yeah, but Dolce and Eraser, I wouldn't be buying that coat.
We're probably playing it on Absolute 80s next.
Aren't they? Don't they make stuff, Dolce and Eraser?
Dolce and Gabbana, yeah. Oh, but I won't be buying Dolce and Eraser.
Frank Skinner. On Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
What about when it went wrong last night with the equipment? Was there like a fire? What happened? There was 1 minute there were fireworks.
Well, there was fireworks.
This is Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran, who had a sort of a light show thing backdrop going on.
Yeah.
There was a point where
a
I remember.
I didn't like the screen.
There was I remember thinking, it's very clever, this back thing. Like it had never happened before.
Yeah.
Like someone going to the first talking picture, the jazz singer with Al Jolson.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yes. So he's singing, and there was fireworks on the back, and there was a cracking. Mm. So I thought it was the sound effect for that, but then all his sound went completely.
Really quite dramatic.
We were right next to the sound desk.
Yeah.
And I was a bit disappointed that they weren't getting, because I felt like saying, come on, mate. It's one bloke and a guitar, you know. It's not Vangelis.
But nobody was... Jean-Michel Jarre.
We were all close. Why weren't they getting abuse, those blokes, for their incompetence?
I love it when you complain about people not getting abuse.
So anyway, so Ed, I'm going to call him Ed.
Call him Ed.
He then sang...
Well, he told everyone to shut up.
Yeah,
then.
Well, he said, shut up. He said, shut up. He said, this won't work if you don't shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I was hoping, he'd say just absolute silence, and then he would have said, you're fired, mate, to the bloke on the back desk. But what he did was he played his guitar and he sang, and it was lovely.
Yeah,
I loved that bit.
It was my favourite.
Me too.
I would have been happy with that volume all night.
Yes.
Yeah.
And silence from the audience.
And the audience, shut up for 5 minutes.
Singing it quietly like that, and us standing next to the sound desk did mean that I could hear it really loudly when the mic on the sound desk went, go to engine B.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was
thinking, where they
ironically,
flying
to? The one person who wasn't quiet was the bloke whose fault it was.
That we think his fault was.
No, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
Now, also, everyone knew the word. I didn't, but everyone knew the words. So lots of people.
Yeah, those guys next to me did.
One of the reasons because I basically went to see why he's become a major star. That was why I was investigating.
I think you saw it in that
you're like Stacey
Dooley, 2 minute period.
Well, I felt all these people knew every word and they were singing the songs. Mm. So obviously, they're all basically rubbish, the other people singing them, all the people around.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so they were, it was like the X Factor auditions going on all around. And in the midst of it, you can hear one voice singing it really well,
and that's his.
So it's a bit like, you know when there's a shipwreck and you're thinking, I can't last, and then you see like a small chest of drawers floating and you think, oh, hold on to this. He's like that.
He's a little life raft.
So he's reminding us how good his voice is by having lots and lots of people singing the song at the same time. Mm. Like, that was my theory. But no, he's talent. I was very surprised that people, the audience, don't go, Sheeran.
Yeah.
Sheeran.
Well,
like the
well
Alan
you made
Sheeran.
Up for it by doing it yourself.
Well, yeah. I thought it would catch on.
Yeah, didn't I saw you trying to get it to catch on. It didn't.
I don't know if his crowd has a huge overlap with the football crowd. It just didn't strike
no,
me as boom.
Maybe not. No, there was a lot of Japanese people at the back.
Aren't they like football,
that,
yeah.
I presume they were over for the England game.
They're doubling up on their
oh, yeah, I should think so. Sheeran and Harry Kane.
A lot of
what a weekend. A
lot of people do this now, don't they? They FaceTime it and then they to all the phones, they're holding up the phones, which is nice because then they're obscuring their own view of the actual gig and watching it through their phone.
Mm.
But they were FaceTiming and I was fascinated though with all the family members I could see. That's all
right.
I could see. People's children, grannies,
family members, yeah.
Just on these screens.
I thought they were just videoing it.
See, I was the grumpy man at the back. Not grumpy, but I was thinking,
not grumpy,
I can't
not
think
you.
Of... No, not me. Not me, girl. I can't think of an artist that I would thank my friend for phoning me from the concert of. I mean, for a start, I very rarely answer my phone, but... But if they did, if one of my friends phoned me and said, oh, I'm at such and such a concert, I thought you'd like to watch it through my phone. I think that would be friendship over, wouldn't it?
Well, someone did do that once. I'm not going to name the friend or the concert, so it's a bit of a boring anecdote, but they did call me and for me to listen to a gig I was too ill to go to, and I put the phone down.
Yeah.
I can't
See,
listen
that's
to
quite
this.
Right.
I'll either be there or I won't.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I had one criticism... I'd say there was a lot of songs about love.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Now, this is what happens when you surround yourself with yes men.
Mm.
What he needs is someone who's going to up to him. Say, Ed, word to the wise.
Word to the wise.
You're milking the love thing. I don't know if you're aware of it, but most of your songs are about love. Talk about something else.
Didn't you once suggest architecture as a song topic?
You would.
Well,
sorry?
Actually, you'd be
you
a lot...
You suggested architecture as a potential song topic.
Why not? Why
you'd
not?
You'd be a lovely friend, because you could... I like to think that you could fulfil that role for him.
Yes.
The truth teller.
I'll say, you don't have to get rid of the love. I've like, you know, two or three songs about love, and then have some songs about, you know, getting a... Say getting some shoes re-healed.
Mm.
Someone like that and interesting bloke who you met there and it made you think about your life compared to his life, that kind of thing.
What about what's wrong with a bit of erasure respect?
Yeah.
The classic, still singing it all these years later.
Gotta know respect. Was that not a love song?
Joe Dolce.
I don't know what. Joe Dolce's an example. You see, that was, I think it was grandparental advice, where love is implicit, but you don't have to upfront it.
Yeah.
Mm. But romantic love. I mean, you're...
She just frowned at me as if I've been writing loads of romantic love.
Well, all he's doing is he's, you know, he's alienating the people in long-term relationships.
Skinner, Dean and Cochrane. Together, The Frank Skinner Show. Absolute Radio.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Now, he's from Suffolk, is he?
Who's this?
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sheeran.
Oh. Welcome.
Thank you.
And he does a thing that lots of people do, is he talks in his normal accent, and then when he starts singing, he goes into the American accent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a phrase that you hear bandied around a lot now is cultural appropriation.
Mm. Yes.
Is that not an example of you're taking the American tradition, which comes up from blues, jazz, country and western, the fusion of all these things, and you're from Suffolk. Is that not cultural appropriation?
I think the people that use terms like cultural appropriation would say that it's not because America isn't like an oppressed minority.
Well, you could say that the parts of America where jazz and blues and came from maybe He's an oppressed. What about this for a bit of politics
okay.
here on Absolute Radio?
Wow.
You could, but it's very difficult to police, isn't it? That's why I think
I liked it better when we were talking about erasure, a little respect.
I'll tell you what I do think might be cultural appropriation is playing a guitar like a drum. What about the drums?
Yeah.
The drums might want to, like, keep drumming for drums.
Well, look, when I showcase my new Bangra song
later in the show, can I do the accent?
Okay.
No,
exactly. 12:15. No. Here's a question.
Here's a question for you.
No, I'll tell you.
You do like a redhead, though, Frank.
You go with your question.
Always. But listen, I think there's a cut-off point in the American accent thing, isn't there?
What do you mean?
I think George Ezra, for example, is nearer the cut-off point.
Because
it's getting deep. He's only a stone's throw away from, there's an old man called the Mississippi. Now, if I came out now as an unknown and sang like that, would I be in trouble?
Don't think so.
Frank was an unknown.
Old man Ribber. What if I said Ribber? I think I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Sorry, Alan, you were saying...
Do you think, you know, the loop pedal Ed Sheeran?
That was impressive.
You know, he does little loops and it works on the guitar. It's funky, isn't it?
And vocally.
Yeah, and vocally.
Sorry, Al.
Is there a gap in the market for that with a ukulele? That's what I was wondering.
I thought he was going to say with stand up comedy.
No.
What you could do is tape, if you've got a surefire gag near the beginning, tape the laugh. And then if you don't get one later. You know that story about Little and Large when they were doing that live show? And the sound man had been told to turn the laughs up because it wasn't going that well.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's true, but I was told this. So every laugh, they cranked up the volume on the show. And they did one that got absolutely nothing and you heard... So you don't want the silence to be louder. That's what you really don't want. Anyway, he's a talented man, I'll say
that. Well, and he also... I'll tell you what he favours clothes-wise. I mean, you probably are aware of this,
but he likes...
What's the chimpanzee look?
A T-shirt over long sleeves.
Oh, yes. And that seems to be the new... I'm a bit of a serious muso. Because I noticed Chris Martin does that as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, it looked like bandage. I thought he had his elbows bandaged, like Ben Stokes always had. I thought maybe the weakness is in the ginger.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have to arm wrestle to prove themselves over and over again. But I always like to see a ginger doing well, as you know, I have a ginger child. So that was good. And more power to his elbow.
Absolute Radio.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
We've been talking about Ed Sheeran this morning.
Sheeran.
David Ingham has a correction with regards to Ed Sheeran.
Hold on, let me see if I can find... Correction, ole, 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 ole.
He didn't play that one last night either. Ed Sheeran is actually from Hebden Bridge.
He's one of them that moved.
Yes.
Like me.
To Suffolk.
Moved to Suffolk. Okay. But that was a long track to write. Well, that's good. Thanks for letting us know that.
Yeah.
Mm. He did close with Ilkley Moor Bar Tat. I wondered what that was about.
Yeah.
Where has the been since I saw thee? Where has the been since I saw thee on Ilkley Moor Bar Tat?
It's not often you see the Brighouse and Restrick on a loop pedal, is it?
No, exactly.
You get that.
Can I just say he's one of yours, Frank.
What's that?
Ed Sheeran.
He doesn't follow the Nazarene, does he?
The family are Catholics.
The family. Well, that would explain the hair as well.
The ginger.
Yeah, that would be Irish emigrant family.
You think?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's my theory. Speaking of the Irish and correcciones...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds potentially quite heavy.
I was at a party.
I didn't expect
to go down that particular cul-de-sac this morning.
Well, we've done cultural appropriation, now historic apologies.
I was at a party the other night, and I saw
big wow.
Famous, well, you were there as well. Famous and no one else, guys. I saw a famous Irish person and I said, I'm currently reading your... I said, you write kids' books, I've got the right person. He said, yeah. And I said, I'm currently reading one to my child. He said, oh, brilliant. Which one? I said, the one about, like, the danger thing. Oh. And he said, no, that's David O'Doherty.
Oh.
Are you joking me?
Yeah.
He's joking me.
That's awful.
And I said, then I remembered he was Chris O'Dowd. And I said, oh.
Frank, this is awful that you did this.
Yeah, that is
why?
Bad.
Well, why do you think?
Well, and he said, oh, it's all right, he's a friend of mine, David. I said, I knew he was like an Irish comedian bloke.
Oh, my God.
He was lovely. He was fine with it. We spoke for a long time. Okay. He's a very nice man. Much taller than I thought. Now,
was
I've
he?
Become one of those people,
oh,
and
yeah.
I've
who
had
says
this,
much taller?
Who they meet you and say, oh, you're not as tall as I thought you was, and all that. And I always say, well, you must have a big telly, eh? And all that.
You know, I had a lovely chat with Ian Brown.
Oh, yes.
From the Stone Roses. Oh. Big fan of yours, Frank.
Really?
Wasn't expecting that. Don't take that
Thanks.
The wrong way. No, but you just don't expect Ian Brown to be doing anything that involves absorbing any sort of popular culture. I expect him to be
in
some...
Oh, he's interested, I think.
Yeah, oh, no, exactly. But I thought he'd be in some muso firmament all of his own.
Right.
Yeah. He said, oh, yeah, absolute play me. I'm really grateful. I need to thank us.
That's nice.
I know.
I would have...
Charming man.
I would have spoke to him, but I never...
Someone else's...
I never moved at this party. You know, when you stand at a party and people come, like being the Pope, someone comes up and then someone else comes up. It was like that.
The world revolves around you.
Well, it was, I think I was near the...
just happen.
I was near the food.
Oh, I'll tell you where you were near. He was stood next to the Jeff Brazier outside.
Yes. Not actually Jeff Brazier.
No.
It was a celeb
It was
party.
A Brazier. But people
Brazier.
Did keep saying to me...
I wasn't part of a picket line in the 1970s.
People did keep saying to me, it was true, I don't know, people had a sense they had to go and talk to you. Because I was chatting to Rob Brydon and he said, should we go and talk to Frank?
I think it's a bit. It gets a bit catchy while you can. When you get to my age,
oh right,
because you think if he dies now, say if it's a bad winter, we'll have one of those anecdotes. I was only talking to him a couple of months ago. He thought I was David O'Doherty, as it turns out. So I suppose the slide had already started.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
This is the Frank Skinner Show with Frank Skinner and Emily Dean and Alan Cochrane. You can text us on 81215, follow the show on Twitter at Frank on the Radio, or email the show via the Absolute Radio website. I am. I'm going to contact Yoko Ono and say I like her.
But you've done that to people before with mixed results, haven't you?
I haven't
Why
done
do
that since Ola Bard, I don't think.
Did you actually write her a letter?
I did write her a letter, yes.
Oh, it's quite
strange.
Sweet, really.
Alan Bennett, have you also written
Alan
Bennett?
Oh, yeah, but that was asking him to write a play with me.
And what did he say?
He said, he began, of course, I know who you are. But I'm not very good co-writer, is what he said. He was very sweet. What he should have said, how can you even think for 1 second and write a play with you, you idiot? But he was too nice for that.
That's nice.
Yes. So anyway, that same party, I met Sir Tim Rice.
Oh!
Oh, yes, he's always charming.
Yeah.
I've met him. Charming.
Mm-hmm. And
funny.
I wanted to ask him. Now, our readers might know the answer to this.
He loves a pale jacket, can I just say? You'll never see Tim Rice in a dark jacket.
Never. He was in a pale jacket when I met him.
Of course he is.
What about if Andrew Lloyd Webber died?
Oh, yeah.
At the funeral.
Oh, yeah.
You think he'd still wear a light jacket?
He'd still go pale blue or a stripe
that
or a tan.
That would be wrong.
An armband.
That would just be wrong.
He's got the Three Men in a Boat vibe, and I love it.
Anyway, I can remember going to some place where he was telling the history of music and his face was projected onto some sort of sphere. So it looked a bit like his head.
Oh.
And And he was saying, so when you and Elvis Presley, and he was being projected. And I really wanted to ask him, but after my Chris O'Dowd, I lost my confidence.
Well, you could have got it. I mean, it could have been anyone.
Yeah.
In case it was maybe Andrew Lloyd Webber or something.
Well, what worried me is it might have just been him. Not
where
his
were you,
face.
Tim? I remember this really dome
No, that
shaped.
Wasn't that wasn't me projecting on a globe. That was my head, actually. That would have been very awkward.
Yeah.
You know, my I have a sort of a weird thing with Sir Tim Rice.
Oh dear.
What do you mean?
Well,
it's a confession.
Me and Sir Tim Rice were in the long room at Lord's, very famous home of cricket place. And he came over. We were at an evening do, and he came over. Like Michael Atherton was there and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Tim Rice came over to me, holding his phone, and said, "Michael Jackson's died." So he's the bloke who told me that Michael Jackson had died.
Oh.
And I think that I still
it
regard that
you
as
that
a
kind
special
of thing.
Well, it's just it was. You know, people say, "Where were you when blah blah?" I was in the long room at Lord's, and Tim Rice told me. I'm prepared to sacrifice Michael Jackson to have that anecdote.
Oh my goodness!
Not
me.
Everyone might feel that's justified, but we're all different. Yeah. Just remember that.
And I bet he was wearing the pale jacket. No mark of respect for Jacko's passing.
I mean, I don't think he carries that. I mean, maybe we should all get to an age where we carry a black armband just on the off chance someone we know is going to go down.
The Frank Skinner Show on Absolute Radio. Back Saturday morning from 8. Tune in live for the full Frank experience.
We've received a text message from Lee on Sea. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? He's called Lee from Lee on Sea.
What if he was called Leon?
Oh, yeah.
And then his surname was C. That'd be even more.
That would be really.
If I was called Leon C, I'd move to Leon C. Because.
Do you know what? You would. You're probably the only person I know who would do that.
I would. I'd be such a waste not to.
You'd put yourself through all sorts of inconveniences for a laugh.
Through hoops.
Yeah.
Of fire.
Mm.
Anyway, he's got in touch. Frank Allen, the Divine Miss M. John Lewis Christmas advert with S.E.J.
That's one
Sir
of his
Elton
mates.
John.
Hyphenated. John Lewis Christmas advert. Oh, yes, the new John. This is a big thing we talk about every year.
I think so, yeah.
It's a real event, the John.
It really is. Yeah. What would have happened if his mum had got him some plasticine for Christmas rather than a piano? Maybe a sculptor. Please discuss.
But then again.
Mould. yes,
make,
in case.
Make up your mind before you sing the song.
In case you haven't seen the John Lewis Christmas
Spoiler
advert.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's actually the life of Elton John.
It's a biopic.
Christmas tale.
So it begins with him in a dressing gown in his house. And playing the piano, and then it goes backwards, not the piano.
Cold in flashback.
Life, yeah. Right back to the very first... when he gets his first piano.
Yeah,
and in between that, you see him in his sort of 70s, 60s, on the private plane.
All that. I don't know, but how do you feel about this advert? Because people have said it's not Christmas enough, but he obviously does get a Christmas
I've
present.
I've got to be honest, I surprised myself. I felt a little tearful.
I was
a bit moved. Oh, Frank, I'm so relieved. I thought you were all going to shout at me.
I found
it quite moving.
It.
So did I.
I thought it was really moving.
Weirdos.
I had a little tear in my eye.
Because at the end, you get there's a big pass, and he opens it, and he's got a piano.
Yeah.
Now, I know... In the real world, the Elton John, the child, had probably said, "An upright? How dare you! Didn't I say I wanted a grand?" I mean, but in this, he's very sweet. And this is the moment, obviously, when he... And it just made me nostalgic for those days when people used to get famous for being able to do something.
I can see that.
John Lewis had had Kim Kardashian and we'd seen her as a child opening the present, it was buttock implants... I don't think I would have been so moved.
Or maybe one of the vloggers. getting there first.
Zoella. Zoella getting a big box and open it and there's just tinsel and the parents say, see how you like it. But Elton John, I was teary.
I was moved.
I wasn't teary on Re. Don't think that for a second.
No.
I haven't gone into management on the strength of it.
And, and there was something quite marvellous about having the original Arlie singing this song.
Oh, yeah.
Which we've heard other versions of over the years, but it was what I believe Terry Venables called a key tapper.
A key tapper?
Oh, yeah.
And you remember that's what he said when he heard that's Three Lions? He said, oh.
Because he did actually tapped his car keys throughout and said, it's a real key tapper, isn't it?
Which worries me now, I think about it, but that's another story.
Yeah.
It's funny, though,
his flashback is so selective. Like, it's all his life is sort of seen through rose-tinted glasses. That's what I was thinking. And then he was wearing some.
Yeah, exactly. I thought they did a good job on the child, Elton John. Especially around the mouth, he looks like Elton John.
Yeah.
I mean, no child wants to be told that. But I think he does.
There is an odd moment in the middle, though, where he's sat at the piano and he genuinely looks like Ian Brown.
Well, I tell you what does. I saw an interview with Elton John saying how much he'd love doing the advert and all that.
Mm.
He didn't actually put a price on it.
Yeah.
But he said how much, actually, to be fair to Elton John, it said he gave a part of his fee to charity.
He did, yes.
But I mean, that could be a pound in the poor box. A part is not a percentage.
Welcome to Dickens London, everyone.
We want a more accurate
pound
fraction.
Pound in the poor box.
Yeah. What percentage was it? A part. Oh, thank you, Sir Elton. Put that in the ledger, will you? Cratchit. One part.
Sorry, Elton.
I'm doing the quill. Can you hear that? Yeah. Right, Cratchit, have an hour off, and that'll be your annual holiday.
Keeping it Christmassy.
Keep it Christmassy. But in the interview, he said, and it was great, it reminded me of when I first played my grandmother's piano, and I thought, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
I thought it was a gift, and now it's your grandmother's.
Well, this is the thing, they altered reality a bit.
I mean, what it needs is a shot of his grandmother getting up Christmas morning and looking around going, hold on. Hold on, where's my piano? Poor grandmother left, played the piano all her life, loved it, gone.
I liked her because she was in, do you remember Tantrums and Tiaras?
I do.
The documentary, and she featured in that the self-same grandmother.
Oh, really?
And there was a great shot, I remember, because he was going off to, he said, well, I'll be nominated for an Oscar. And she went, you've got loads of those. He said, no, I haven't. This is the first time I've been nominated. She goes, no, I've seen them. You've got them. No, I haven't. This is a special one. He got a bit tetchy.
What she meant was that she'd seen very bronze naked men standing in his garden.
Frank Skinner. On Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
Elton John.
Well, yeah, some people are getting in touch.
Ah.
And...
not Yoko.
No, Yoko hasn't been in touch yet. You never know. Mm. She does randomly follow people. Oh, you're not on the Twitters.
No.
Well, you are technically with the show account. You never know. Paul, for example, not moved at all with the advert for John Lewis.
Well, that's all right.
I know.
We're all different.
How much has he been paid to get on TV? You've got a film and concert out soon.
Yeah, but if you start thinking like that, you're not going to be moved by anything. Mm. I tell you what, one thing that moves me about it is that, you know, we've had the pets on trampolines, the old man on the moon, random kids with monsters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice to put celebrity back centre stage where it belongs. It's gone very...
Yeah.
We don't want to see Christmas as a sort of ordinary people event.
No.
Exactly.
Not on the telly. I mean, we want a big star.
Yeah?
No, I just find it... I like the idea of a little kid getting a musical instrument, persevering, become a major star. Isn't that a moving thing?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, there's not a lot of that, is there? There's not a lot of the persevering. Like, there's not a lot of him... sort of playing
There's no him getting up in the morning, eating six raw eggs, and then playing a cantata.
It would have been nice if the advert had included the 20,000 hours of piano playing really badly.
Yeah.
Maybe the film will have it.
There's things missing. I'd like
2,000, sorry, Frank, 2,000 performances of your song he's done live, he reckons.
I'd like to have seen him as, when he's about 50, walking down the road past the sports shop and suddenly stopping frozen when he sees his first shell suit and thinks, oh, I'm having that.
The game changer of his life.
Well, that moment when his milk hair fell out and was replaced by his grown-up hair. I wonder if he put it under his pillow.
I'd like him to have walked past the shop with the orange wigs.
Is there a hair fairy that if you put your milk hair under the pillow, comes and brings you the new hair? there's things. I can't help being moved. I know we've had a few people now saying I could be moved by that. It's just a promo for his film.
They told us off.
That's exactly the tone that they're texting in as well.
Right. We watched it with our childish unspoiled hearts.
Exactly.
Thank you. Hey, you know he wrote that in 10 minutes?
The song.
Well, did
I'm
Bernie
just saying, so
write
Ella, Bernie took Yeah, him. Bernie, you're right.
Bernie wrote the words, didn't
so
he?
So Ella... How long for that calendar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She took
but
a while.
She was very proud of it.
Okay.
yes, I think what the way it worked is that Bernie sent him words and then he sat and he said if he had a go at it for 10 minutes and if he didn't come up with a melody, he'd abandon it. So I suppose every Elton John song's been written in.
Oh, yeah, so quickly. He's a quick worker, isn't he?
It's odd, though, because you see him playing sort of like classical piano at the school, and I always think of him as really on the big chords, you know. But it's nice to think that he's starting off through the classical route, as I believe they're saying, across the pond.
The newspaper website that I looked at had John Lewis advert live, like, you know, like updates.
Wow.
You know, like, this is what we've got with 24-hour news. It's like they're in Iraq or something.
I wonder,
so-and-so has said this about the John Lewis advert.
I wonder
advert.
If they consider calling the shop Elton John Lewis just for the Christmas
period. That would have been a good product tie-in,
wouldn't
it? What a great
idea.
I'll tell you one thing that I did miss, and this is... A serious point is at the end when he looks at the piano. He's looking as a kid with his glasses on, and then he reaches out and presses one note on the piano. There's a picture of Ray Charles, you know, that who was blind and wore dark glasses, and there's a shot of him playing, and you can see the keyboard reflected in his glasses, and it's a really amazing shot because obviously keyboard meant everything to him, as to Elton. Uh-huh. What they should have done is had it reflected in the kid's glasses. But
you know what? That's a bit like after a comedy gig when you sometimes come up and give them a little note.
I do.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, they never asked me. They asked me to do the advert, in fact, but they couldn't think of anything to get as the big parcel. At the end, anything clean that had inspired my career. What if they had me doing it? Well, imagine people thinking, "What Frank Skinner? Who cares about him?"
They could have just turned, and then there just would have been a spotlight on you with the mic.
And
have
a child,
mic, so.
Child playing me.
Yeah.
There's a bloke in the middle who plays him. We get quite close with him in a straw hat. Is that? An actor?
They all have, yes. It was three actors with very heavy prosthetics. But imagine they got the call.
I think
they want you to play young Elton. They would have thought it was the biopic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think the mother had a lot of Elton John lookalikes in the address book.
She hired one for
the birthday party. So they probably just went to her.
They left that bit out of the advert, didn't they?
Yeah.
Absolute Radio.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Anyway.
People are saying that...
They never did that moment when he went from singing, you know. I remember when to...
People are saying that the real star is the little boy who plays him at the end.
Yeah. People are saying that, but people say a lot of things that
Freddie
are incorrect.
Freddie Henderson, his name is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he may have got himself in trouble because...
what did he get himself into, Al?
little bit of trouble. apparently the scene-stealing youngster, according to the article
I
read.
Hyphenated?
Yes.
I love it when you talk spontaneously like
that. He said, I was just, you know, running down the stairs into the lounge, standing there until they said cut. And I think all the grown-up actors went, shut up, don't tell people it's that easy.
Yeah, I remember reading that Steve McQueen made a big fuss about this door he had to go through and they had to change it and all that. And one of the other actors said, what's wrong with that door? He said, nothing, but you don't want him to think it's easy.
I love it.
So, yeah, Fred, he'll learn fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless him. It's a tricky journey, the child star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the best.
Tell me
good
about
luck
it, love.
To your friend.
I mean, come on.
And how many looking like Elton John roles are there out there? I don't think even Elton John would get one now.
No.
No.
Mm. Oh, the thing is, though, if the it said, someone I said who was defending it, because there's been an attack. Every John Lewis ad is attacked and defended this time of the year. And someone was saying, well, it's good that it encourages young children to take up an instrument.
Yeah.
But does that mean that that there's a sort of a message behind the John Lewis adverts generally? So the pets on the trampoline, was that a sort of an attempt?
Get them to exercise.
Keep pets outside to avoid the devil dog.
What about the monster under the bed? What was that indicating?
Well,
was that Elton John?
It was last year, wasn't it, with the elbow?
Sorry, that's not a very kind thing to say out.
The old man on the moon was probably a thing about, you know, people are living older, where we're going to put them.
But it did say, I note, John Lewis made a point of saying, John Lewis has started to stock pianos since this
ad. On the strength of that.
I've never seen a piano in John Lewis before, have you? Text in 81215.
Well, I wouldn't have really registered one.
I think they've got two available that are product tie-ins. I think one's like £800 or £900 and one's about 150.
Oh, nice
quid.
Bit of advertising for John.
I
didn't find that
really
very moving at all.
You referred to John Lewis as John just now.
I don't know why they didn't just use me saying they've got two pianos. One's about £900.
That would have fantastic. Knowingly underplugged on the radio.
You're listening to Frank Skinner's podcast from Absolute Radio.
Zayn Malik has been in the news this week for letting the cat out of the bag.
I just had a thought. Can I say something?
Oh, yeah.
You know these people who work as lookalikes, and some are good and some are not that great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you see them all gathered together in one place for thinking it's very funny. Why didn't you know how Elton is a sort of a guru to celebrities? Why didn't they have a shot of him with them all sitting around him on the floor, sort of cross-legged, while he spoke to them about life? I'd have loved that. Sorry, Zayn Malik.
Zayn Malik's been in the news because he apparently has inadvertently let slip some rumours that Taylor Swift gets carried around in luggage so that she doesn't get mobbed by fans. Apparently there's quite a lot of internet chat about Taylor Swift being carried around in luggage.
Okay.
Hand luggage. I think she's slightly bigger than that, but like,
I imagine she'd fit in a snooker cue case. Mm.
She's a small...
She's a tall one, though.
Is she tall?
Yeah, I think
she'd be a snooker cue case rather than...
A 5'10er.
Right.
Yeah. And he's let the cat out of the bag, to speak.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's true.
Yeah, and there's pictures in the paper of, like, two roadie types carrying, like, a big box...
Oh, yeah.
Just walking past fans who obviously don't know that she's in there.
Yeah.
It would have been great at the end of the Elton John advert if when they took the paper off, it was Taylor Swift. I know there'd have been a chronological issue, but that wouldn't have mattered.
It's a good idea, though. Have you ever had to go to any...
It's a bad choice of present for Elton.
Yeah.
Have you had to go to any extreme lengths to get out of one of your tour dates? Do you need to be covered up in a blanket and wheeled to the... chauffeur-driven car or any of that sort of stuff?
I think I was part... You know when they have those meals when they have a hog with a goat inside it?
Yeah.
And then inside that they'd have, like, a small lamb and inside, it ends up with, like, a wren.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I was third layer in on one of those in order to get out of Birmingham Town Hall.
It's a good way to get out, though, isn't it? You just need a shower back at the hotel. That's the downside.
I always did, dear.
Eventually.
I imagine you and David must have needed some form of disguise.
No, we really
during
didn't.
The white heat of Three Lions.
No, I was only too happy to meet with the fans after the gig.
That's so lovely to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I thought that's why David grew the beard. I thought it was sort of a joke shop disguise thing initially, but it turns out it suits him now.
Mm. Yeah, he can't really do a joke, because you remember he went to a football match in Germany with a mask we bought called Alter Manner.
Oh, yes, I do remember.
And people were just saying, all right, Dave. It's, like, it's just his walk and everything. He's a distinctive person. But yeah, I imagine she must get absolutely mobbed.
Taylor?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, now saying Malik's ruined it.
Yeah.
Is he one of the only
woman to have ever said that, I imagine. No. Is he a heartbreaker?
Is he one of the people who she'd been out with?
No.
No, one of the people. He was in one... I'll handle this.
Okay, cool.
He was in One Direction.
Yeah, with Harry Styles, who did go out with him.
And you know Harry Styles because you loved his video, didn't you? Do you remember that when he was flying?
The flying video is one of the greats. Yeah. Wouldn't it have been brilliant if she'd done it, but she's just in a box. Just a box floating around.
She is essentially living in a box.
But if he was with her, say in the dressing room, you know, they were kissing.
Uh-huh.
Harry Styles. Would they have both got in the box to leave?
Oh.
All together.
Because they've got to get him out as well.
Well, she's not the only one. It's quite a common practice amongst these celebrities, Frank.
Is that right?
Robbie Williams said in his autobiography that Jerry Halliwell, when they were having a relationship...
Were they?
Late review.
Didn't know that.
When they were having a secret relationship at the time, both single people, nothing funny going on.
Okay.
But they didn't want the press to know. Uh-huh. He smuggled her out of the... his apartment in a duffel bag.
A duffel bag?
A large duffel bag. You know, like a sailor's duffel bag. Those big ones.
Like
she was so small. She's
like
only 5 foot.
North Face bag, like MI5 guy.
Yeah.
Right.
You look quite shell-shocked by that, Frank.
No, well, yes. I don't know if I'd like... You've got to have a certain... I mean, one thing, if Taylor Swift, God forbid, is ever buried alive... You know, if she had that sort of apnea thing, they thought she was dead and they buried her. She's so used to it now, she'd have the presence of mind to be able to, you know, just stay calm and consider options. I think a lot of people panic if they wake up in their own casket.
Use up a lot of oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Wow. So it's a commonplace.
Adele does it.
Really? Yeah. I seem to have a memory when... Jose Mourinho was banned from a Chelsea game once. There was a theory that he'd gone in a laundry basket, been taken into the ground.
That sounds a bit more Goodfellas, if you know what I mean.
And then he spoke on an earpiece or something to the... Yeah, I'm sure he was in a laundry basket, Jose.
I think if things don't work out, if you're managing Chelsea, you maybe get taken out in the laundry basket. Just saying.
It's a bit oligarchist.
Frank Skinner. On Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
So this is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Alan Cochrane. Text the show on 81215, follow the show on Twitter at Frank on the Radio, or email the show via the Absolute Radio website. The Taylor Swift thing, do you think she'd go as far as a baggage carousel at an airport?
Oh, that would be useful.
You know, I've said to you before, when you see the long thin, you think, is someone a pole vaulter travelling? So those mysterious long thin zip up like sports. Oh no, but really long, I've seen them.
I know those ones, Frank. I always think, what are you doing?
What's in there? It looks like a sports thing. It's got to be the pole. If you...
Canoes...
No, I tell you, they always, every luggage carousel has them for some reason, and they always have, sometimes they have a plastic bag tied at the top to mark them out,
Do you think Presumably, the pole for a pole vault must have a screw joint in the middle or something. They don't transport them at maximum length, do they?
Do you know, can I just say the producer just blew on her tea, and I haven't seen anyone do that outside of a soap opera.
It happens in real life. we've actually had a message about the. I suppose it's in the Taylor Swift disguised arriving at a place theme. 290 has said, I went to a Tina Turner. I went to a. Hang on, I'm going to have another go at reading.
Yeah.
I
went to a Tina Turner concert. Oh my goodness, that is like a. It's like a vocal warm up at drama school. I went to a Tina Turner concert. I went to a Tina Turner concert.
Don't keep doing it.
Early 90s in the grounds of Woburn Abbey. An ambulance came through the crowd and Princess Diana got out of it and was taken to her seat by security.
Yeah.
That's a good way through, isn't it?
Yeah.
The old arrive in an ambulance trick.
Yeah.
Second. But maybe she just comes straight from hospital.
Maybe.
God bless her.
Tina Tonto.
If I was ever so famous.
Was she Tonto?
I'd quite like to be transported to my gigs in, you know, those trolleys like Hannibal Lecter with the full full mask. And people think, oh, it's someone going to Alan's show in cosplay.
Behind a Perspex screen.
It'd actually
screen.
Be me.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah.
I'd like to arrive made over as Ed Sheeran. That'd be a really bad way of getting in to a gig. I think we saw him leave last night because me and Emily were walking up the road and the bloke, you know those metal fences they put for crowd things?
Yeah.
A bloke
I just want to say, sorry to interrupt, Frank, but just to explain, we abandoned you and I felt bad, Frank was getting quite a lot of attention from the Ed Sheeran demographic.
Well, you wouldn't carry the box.
He had a massive Louis Vuitton flight case that he was determined to get.
Was it Brazil, Uruguay as well? In fact, big with the footballing community. Anyway.
So this bloke started walking to... You know those blokes outside gigs who are in a sort of shiny black Max that you never see anyone else wearing?
Mm. Except for voluntary policemen. Yeah.
Well, I always imagine they always look like curates.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he was walking to us, literally carrying one of those metal sections of fence. Like walking in front of him like he was a Wild West train.
One man frontier.
He was very, you shall not pass to us.
I thought it'd be a handy guest if it was, if there's snow on the ground. Just clear the. Anyway, he put it right in front of us. So just stopped us in the street with his fence. I didn't want to say anything in case he took offence. Now, anyway, so...
Good.
And then this car with blacked out windows came flying past. So I think Sheeran, who apparently arrived sort of like 5 minutes before the gig, I think left absolutely shot out of there.
Yeah.
But not in a box.
But I think the man with the fence, if I may say, was both premature and irrelevant. Because for a start, there was only a trickle of people at that stage.
Mm.
Secondly, I know I didn't say firstly, but anyway. secondly, these Ed Sheeran gig goers, I mean, they're not going to mob him. It's not Bieber mania.
Don't you think?
I think they might.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, the guys next to me singing throughout it, they would have mobbed him.
Oh, yeah, those two guys knew every word and they were singing them like to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
They're from Absolute Radio, those
two. No, they're not.
No, not those. Not those ones. They sang Oasis regardless.
Frank Skinner. On Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
342 is claiming that the other baggage carousel stalwart is the unclaimed pushchair, lonely and forlorn.
Yes.
Maybe just during the flight the child learned to walk.
Oh, yeah.
Then they get off the plane and the family.
It's a long flight.
We don't need that.
What about the cling film bag?
Oh, I don't know that spy novel.
Never seen that when there's a bag just covered in cling film.
Well, do you know, Frank, it's remained a mystery to me and I want to keep it that way because when I get to a certain airport and I see a funny machine and I think, I don't understand those people with their cling film. You know, have you seen those machines ever?
Is it anti-sniffer dog?
I can't believe they'd have those at airports. If you want to shield your suitcase from sniffer dogs, queue here.
Well, I just wee on mine. I saw a sniffer dog, must have told you this, on the carousel once, walking along and not moving, going from.
Do you ever get the fantasy of going on? I wonder if there's some strange German word for it or something.
I'm told they stop if somebody,
if
a 10-stone person.
How dare you?
Well, they feel that you'd be all right.
Thank you.
I'd just about register, I think.
Alan, you'd be doing all right.
I'm 13 on the nose, I think.
If we're going to do weights, I'll throw my hat in the ring.
On this, the topic of celebrities leaving and entering, we just Days of the Producer, which just remind me about the Prince Charles thing, when apparently he used to get up early in the morning, and one of his bodyguards would drive a milk float.
Yes.
And Prince Charles would have a scarf and a cap on, and he'd go around and just see how ordinary people
lovely.
Live.
Brilliant.
Even then, he was in the electric.
And you know what I loved? He was seeing Frank, ordinary people in the borough of Kensington and Chelsea.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Nice. Taxi Joe has been in touch to say, does that mean Uncle Albert, out of Only Fools and Horses, was seeing Jerry Halliwell? I'm sure I saw him with a duffel bag as well. Which is a great observation. One of the most famous duffel bag carriers, Uncle Albert.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
So Robbie Williams had... Yeah, he had Jerry Halliwell in there.
Hmm. She's five... She's five foot.
She's petite.
And she was...
Even so. Did he... You said he carried...
Robbie Williams carried her in the bag out to the car. I believe there are pictures that you can see.
I might have looked that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great way to get a...
Bit of fun.
Yeah. I think
yeah,
I
that's
saw...
that's a nice thing to have on. Jerry plus Halliwell in bag.
Yeah.
Exactly. Reach out to Kath first, yeah?
I can't imagine many women who would agree to get in the bag.
I would, just FYI.
Would you?
Mm. Would you?
I'm small. It's got to have its uses.
I think I saw social media next week when we put Emily in a bag.
What about if you saw David Copperfield, the magician, leaving with two bags? Two smaller duffel bags.
Skinner, Dean and Cochrane. Together, the Frank Skinner Show.
I'd like to talk about a referee this morning. This referee is called David McNamara.
Oh, that referee.
Do you know him? Do you know this referee?
Well, I do now.
Well, I'll tell you how he's become famous.
He's become a ledge.
He's become a ledge because instead he rejected the traditional coin toss in favour of the rock, paper, scissors decider.
Yeah.
Didn't he? And the game was it Man City Reading for the ladies' football?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Women's Super League. But he's got into a lot of trouble. Not a little bit, but a lot of trouble.
Well, he forgot his coin, didn't he? We should just say that he didn't do it on purpose. I think he forgot his coin and realised that it was a televised game and needed to...
It said he left his coin in the dressing room, to which I ask, you don't have another one? No one in that whole stadium has a coin? How badly off are these
people?
That's
a good point. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to...
Just say, lend us 10p.
Also, I don't think they'd have been throwing them at him, so
I've just said, lend us 10p, and they don't even think 10p exists anymore. Okay.
Sorry. I don't think... we're probably not talking about 65,000 people, but there would have been people there.
A steward must have 20p.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, in fairness to Davey Mack...
Yeah, yeah.
...is that it was on telly, this match, so, you know, they're very keen on getting everything happened at the right time.
Yeah.
So I think if it hadn't been, he would have delayed it and gone and got his coin.
Yeah.
But...
And rock, paper, scissors isn't that bad, is it?
I thought it was actually very inventive of him, which obviously is why the FA didn't like it.
Could have been a lot worse, couldn't it? If he'd gone with nicest eyes. If he'd
Man
just
City
gone with
had the nicest eyes.
That would have been...
Which captain's got the nicest eyes?
That would have been a real...
Well, okay, you could tell.
I think that's fair enough.
That would have been terrible.
I think if you decide on the body part beforehand and it's in a sealed envelope, obviously...
Yeah, but he'd have forgot that. I think you've accidentally hit the nail on the head there. I think one of the problems with this is that he's a male referee and it's a woman's football match.
No,
and it
not.
Sounds a bit like maybe he wasn't taking it completely seriously. That's why I think they're being hard
on apparently it does happen, doesn't it? Someone said, because other referees are making a stand with him, and they're saying... you know, they don't, not in my name, essentially.
Right.
They're saying it's not fair. He shouldn't be suspended.
No. I mean, the BBC have robbed, suddenly out of the blue, robbed Doctor Who of the coveted Christmas Day TV slot. No one's suggesting they're doing that just because they're thinking, well, that's only a woman, Doctor Who.
You seem to be.
You seem to be. You're the only one doing that.
I'm not suggesting that. They're thinking, oh, I should just be making lunch for the whole thing. No, I
he won't be happy until it's called Dr. Perkins,
no,
essentially.
I think I'll miss it on Christmas Day, is all I'm saying.
You've got the Elton John advert.
That is true. I have, and that goes backwards in time, of course.
Lovely. Did you hear what one of these referees, Keith Hackett, his name was? He used
Yeah, you know him.
You might be familiar with his work because he uses the footballers' tents in a brilliant way. Frank, he said he's under time pressure.
Yeah,
he's gone out to the middle. He's forgotten the coin.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that, Keith.
Well, the head of the head of the Women's Referees Association said. He should have been more prepared. He should have had a coin. He forgot the coin. That's it. What's the point in saying that?
Yeah.
She also said, get this, that it was a moment of madness. It made me think when I read
very
that.
Very sheltered life.
Do you know Daniel Johnston, the singer-songwriter?
Yes.
His dad was flying him back from a gig in a small plane. They had an argument. Daniel Johnston switched the ignition off and threw the keys out the window. What would the female referee boss describe that as?
Really big moment of madness.
That's a very, very big...
You've been a very naughty boy.
Yeah. For those of you who are anxious, his dad, who was an experienced pilot, managed to crash land in trees, which is that's the secret of doing it. But even so, you know, this bloke forgot a coin and thought, well, thinking on my feet, scissors, paper, stone. Come on,
Dolly. I mean, come on. What's Ruth Ellis?
Come on. Pardon?
What's she called, Ruth Ellis?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What about Ruth Ellis? And she was dealt with quite harshly as well. It hasn't gone that far, thank the Lord.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
So he was suspended for 21 days.
Is that right?
Goodness me.
I mean, for good. In my experience of football, I've watched a lot. I don't think the kickoff, who kicks off.
Mm.
I know people sometimes like to play into their own fans at certain half or whatever, but as far as the result is concerned, I've never seen any stats on teams winning who have kicked off.
Right. No.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Decider.
I agree.
Yeah.
In the way that perhaps it is in tennis a bit more.
When you consider that referees make appalling decisions about things like penalties and stuff like that, which are absolutely crucial, or don't punish people for really dangerous tackles. And this bloke's got a 21-day suspension over a kickoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a bit like I'm going to have a free David Matman Namara t-shirt.
I think you should.
Shall we?
Yeah, that'd be good. If we lead
the
campaign.
Do a charity single.
I think it was a really good idea.
Everything that I can think of that he could have done instead would have taken longer. Like, keeping up his competition, that would have taken longer.
Tarot cards.
Tarot cards would have taken longer.
You have to set them up on the pitch, blow away.
Monopoly.
Then you get death and it's a real buzzkill.
What about if he'd done a riddle?
Yeah. 3-2-1.
My first is in fish, but not in sea.
He could have brought on.
My second's in bird and not in tree. And they're going, hold on, let me just.
He'd been shouting, captains only, no conferring.
He could have brought on
Dusty Bin.
They started to mob him over the riddle. What was he again about the bird? Get back, or just the captains.
Or he could have gone, I tell you what he should have gone. He should have gone, fortune teller fish.
Oh, that would have been good.
The trouble is, they often give an unclear result.
Well, the trouble, not only that, Frank.
If you didn't have a coin.
Well, that's... who hasn't got a fortune teller fish in their back pocket? The only trouble with the fortune teller fish is that some of the... I find it a bit strange, if I'm honest. Because it says, I think it's motionless is dead one.
That means you're dead, yeah.
No, it says dead one. Why dead one? Why rub it in? It
means you're a dead one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then it does fickle and envy. It's not going to work for the two halves.
Terrible. Has anyone finding a body put one of those fishes on a palm to see whether they're dead or not?
Instead of feeling for a pulse.
I mean, it seems wrong to go for what essentially is a party item.
The NHS are provided with them. It's terrible. No, I'm not a fan. I don't like the fortune teller fish. I mean, I'd never be without one.
Well, I mean, he could have done red or yellow, I suppose, an old card behind his back. That would have been... He must have had those with him.
That's a good idea.
If he had any kind of sheet of paper, he could have made one of those origami things where you pick a colour.
Yeah.
Frank.
Pick a number, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, they'd have got there in
what
the
are
end.
They called? They've got a funny name.
I think they're called those origami
no,
things.
No, they're not, darling. Yeah, they've got a special name. Mean. Text us in. They are. Do you know
what I mean? So they have numbers and then colours, and then I think they say who you love or something like that.
Depending on how
they're
well
very low tech fortune. I mean, that's what I love about them.
Yeah.
Depending on how well the pitch was maintained, maybe a mud wrestle could have gone.
I think if he'd have suggested that, he'd have been suspended for more than 3 days.
Even bigger trouble.
Yeah, but notice, Frank, he's got to get the old wrestling.
It's all about the grappling.
Gets in everywhere, doesn't it?
Look, if it had been a man's game, I'd have been all right with it. But I just think it's gone to a wrong place for breakfast radio.
Yeah,
and if it's a woman's game, are they all right to be calling themselves Man City?
No.
Surely they should call themselves Woman City.
Wouldn't it be great if they had called themselves Woman City? I would really respect them.
Me too.
Yeah.
What about Huddersfield?
Frank Skinner. On Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
We've been talking about, rock.
David McNamara.
Yes. Yeah. Do you call it... what do you call this game? Can I just ask you a question?
I call it scissors, paper, stone. Is that not what it's called?
That was exactly what I used to call it. But apparently these people call it rock.
Paper, scissors. They don't just call it rock. Surely that would be confusing if they were in Blackpool.
Can I tell you what they call it?
What?
RPS.
Do they?
Which I hate. And I don't think it's a thing. The thing about RPS...
Oh, that's weird.
I know this because of this study that they did a couple of years ago. And do you know what they discovered? That rock is the most commonly chosen, or stone for us, Frank.
Yeah.
Everyone chooses that. Did you know that already?
People overstick with it. They do too much of it.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, if you actually add scissors, paper and a rock... The rock would destroy the scissors and the paper easily.
No, the paper covers it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, does that mean that I am constantly beaten by my duvet?
Well, I don't know what you get up to with your friends.
Well, if you mean
in the Doctor Who world.
To your duvet.
No, but I'm not inferior to my duvet, even though it covers me.
Strange, Jude the Obscure.
Good point.
Modern telling of Jude the Obscure story.
I play scissors, paper, stone quite a lot now because my child has introduced it into my house.
I thought you played a lot of female football.
It's bad.
Yeah, so he does it, and he goes. He goes, and then I think he does three,
two, three, three,
and then he does. So we do that, and whenever he does bar paper covers stone, I always think, so what?
Yeah,
that's not in any form of beating it that it's covering.
I know. Okay.
I'm not
happy with
that.
The player, hate the game.
Very good.
I'm not anti in the S. I mean it. You don't need anything to play it. I mean, the things we've talked about as the alternative for the referee we needed.
That's why I liked it.
It's a sort of...
game for you kids. Yeah. Never mind
we'll
that.
We'll be glad of it post-Brexit.
Yeah, for all the family.
It's an austerity top trumps.
Well, apparently, you're absolutely right, Frank, but you are about a lot of things.
Thank you, darling.
Apparently, rock is the alpha person's choice.
Oh.
It's, well, you can see why.
They seem such nice, they're Christian.
They are
nice. Yeah, nice people.
Apparently.
I suppose it's on this rock I will build my church. That's what you're thinking.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And that tends to be, men are most likely to go with rock. Not my words, the words of the survey. Women most likely to go with scissors.
Are they?
Oh, that's terrible. Terrible stereotype.
I know,
well, I
but this is
true. You can say
true.
It about populations. I think you're allowed to.
Well, this is what the scientists say.
Paper is on such a loser with a rock and a pair of scissors.
Which is exactly why you should always go for it.
Paper?
The experts say, hear me out.
I'm hearing you out.
Because the most obvious choice, forgive me, Frank, will always go for rock. Mm. So you rule that out. Scissors is the least popular.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I often don't know what I'm going for, even as I'm going for it. I
absolutely, shut up.
I don't make any decisions in advance. I just play it completely spontaneously. I just let it out. Sometimes it's quite an offensive gesture.
Yeah.
They ought to have a finger as one of the things, because that is when the paper really comes into its own, is the paper cut.
Oh, yeah. Is,
so if they included paper and just a bare finger and they had paper, I'd think, well, that's fair enough, because that does really hurt.
Also,
paper covering a rock.
You'd be able to the child would pick that every time. For mischievous reasons.
Yeah.
So you'd be able to win them every time. And I love winning over a child.
Fun for all the family.
Yeah. Scissors, I'd never go scissors, though. Surely, would you go paper over scissors?
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. It just comes out.
Such a free spirit. I love that.
It's a loose cannon at that game, isn't it?
I'm sort of play it cosmically. It's
lemons.
But when I play with Boss, he'll go, I'll go, say if I cut with stone, he goes, scissors. He goes, oh, no! You think,
right.
Oh, you need to leave yourself somewhere to go.
Sort of the John McEnroe of the rock, paper, scissors.
When we see
it
the third time, you're just being pieces.
You cannot be serious.
And you can't let them win. That's one of the problems.
Oh, yeah.
Are you not allowed?
Well, I mean, you'd have to put a bit of delay.
Oh,
you know,
I see. But you apparently, this survey also said there are tells.
You said?
There are tells.
Tells?
Tells, T-E-L-L-S. You're familiar with the poker system of tells?
No, I don't know.
So it means a way of telling if someone's, you know, what their next move's going to be.
Like if they're balling up their fist, they're probably going to go rock.
No, but if they are about to do rock, you will see the thumb inside.
I would never do that, because that's a terrible fist.
If they're muttering snip, snip, snip to themselves, I know what I'd go for. A vasectomy. Anyway, so let's move on.
Where did that come
that's
from?
The end
Snip.
Of.
I know, but I didn't mean it in that way.
So, thank you so much for listening this morning. And if the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, we'll be back again this time next week. Be seeing you.
You're listening to the Frank Skinner podcast from Absolute Radio. Want your Frank fix a little sooner? Listen live every Saturday from 8 a.m. on Absolute Radio. Across the UK on digital radio, mobile apps, and in London and the South East on 105.8 FM. Absolute Radio.